Yeah, Michael's cat dropped some absolute fucking howlers.
He's only got one eye as well.
Yeah, he's on biscuits only. But, like, fucking hell. Stacks up in there, and he's got a massive arse now.
Oh, dear.
Because he eats nothing but big bits.
It's a little bit too descriptive for me, Dave, I'll be honest with you.
They're like a massive haunch, mate, not like an actual ring piece.
Oh, Jesus.
Why would I be talking about a cat's actual arsehole?
It's a haunch. I just don't want to hear about a cat's rectum right now. Sunday
you
night.
You brought it up.
This is the Sabbath.
Is it?
Yeah. Sunday. I've been in church all day. What have you been doing?
What? I was in bed while you were in church. I was praising in my own way.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah.
Actually, very religious.
Pray Lord.
Pray Lord.
Pray to Jesus.
Is this thing working anyway?
Yeah, yeah, I think it's working.
We even got the sound levels right, or...
Well, I don't know. What's
the sound levels right, Willie? I don't know. Why don't you come and inspect? I'll just fucking sit to one side.
Say something.
Hello.
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 Just deliberately quiet and then deliberately loud.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's
yeah,
it. Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
And it's worth showing the mic again. Thought this was supposed to be like a communist sort of thing.
No, it's all right. We always share a mic. It's a bond we have.
Share. No.
You want your own mic now? Well, you provide the equipment that Dave provides and you can have your own mic, isn't that right, Dave?
I'm on the 30 quid mic. You're on the whatever that cost mic, probably about 300 quid.
£2
And I've got two fucking mini XLRs that are daisy chained together.
And he's got like a Toys R Us style microphone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lean against two books.
Yes.
Good books.
One of them's all right.
What if you could travel to parallel worlds? The same year, the same Earth, only different dimensions. A world where the Russians rule America. Or where your dreams of being superstar came true. Or where San Francisco was a maximum security prison. My friends and I found the gateway. Now the problem is finding a way back home.
Are we ready to go?
Yes, we're waiting for you now, cock.
It's not very nice. Hello, and welcome to Cinematry, your fortnightly look at hover reviews. No, hover views.
Getting there, getting there.
Now, keep going.
Hover sequels and remakes. I'm Chris, and as always, I'm joined by Dave.
Hello!
How are you doing?
I'm all right. My arm's feeling a little bit better, and by the time this goes out, it might actually be fully better.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yes. How are you, Christopher?
Yeah, I'd say both my arms work. My neck works.
Excellent.
That's all right, yeah.
Speaking of necks not working.
Yeah. And hello to you, Rob.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Well, I mean,
it doesn't matter how you're doing!
Oh, dear. You walked into that one, didn't you?
Can I just...
You're great fucking flaccid.
I know, yeah. I'm having a nightmare. Got a bit of a sore neck. And now this.
Bit of a shit Sunday for you, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is a bit of a shit Sunday.
Yeah.
Fucking shit sandwich of a Sunday, but it's fine.
You just got promoed, mate.
And I did, yeah. By the most electrifying man in this room.
Who's that, then?
That would be you. Okay, I promise.
Right. So today's film, Scream 2. Scream 2.
Scream DOS.
Scream DOS.
As they say in Spain.
Yes, they do say in Spain.
It'll Screamo DOS.
Yeah. Screams Fi.
Mm.
El Screamo Dos.
That's what I just said.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought I missed the L. I thought it said Screamo Dos.
No, no, El Screamo Dos.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's alright.
Well done.
That's fine.
Proud of you, Dave.
So, Wilson.
Wilson, introduce this.
Why did you pick this boy? And what's your past experience with it, if you do have any past experience?
I do.
Yes.
Well, the reason why I picked it... is A, I'm on a bit of a 90s nostalgia kick anyway, as always.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Bring back Babylon Nightclub, I say.
Babylon 5, then.
Let's not push it too far.
No. One thing at a time. Bring back the nightclub first, then we'll talk about the epic sci-fi series. Yes. The reason why I picked it, I think I sort of explained this at the end of the last episode, is sort of... Scream was quite popular with people we went to university with, as in the hover module, which I must point out I didn't take. Cause
I did.
We did, didn't we?
Yeah. The screenwriting module was at the same time, so I took that. Got it first. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Best thing I ever did was screenwriting. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Chris Nolan is here.
Hello.
He's sat here in case you were looking for him. I know he's a slippery customer, but...
He's a regular listener as well, so absolutely, that call should be coming.
Of course, yeah. But from what I heard from the horror course is that everyone did their essays on Scream because...
Yes, I did mine on zombies, and therefore I stood out as... Yeah, it was an unusual year, that.
I did mine on prom night, Jamie Lee Curtis with a disco soundtrack.
Yeah. So me and Rob are quite special.
Yeah. I mean, it reminded me of back in A-levels where we had to... I can't remember, we had to review a film with some sort of context or someone's... I think it was the auteur theory, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone like picked Tarantino or Tim Burton.
Absolutely. Yeah. I did Schwarzenegger, mate. Yeah.
You know...
Niche.
I haven't told you who I did for that one. This was really fucking...
Is this wanky or is it funny?
Very wanky.
Oh, Jesus.
Did you do Francois Truffaut?
No, I did Peter Greenaway.
Oh my god, that is wanky. And he made like three films, hasn't he?
I know, yeah.
Jesus.
That is pretty wanky.
The reason why I did that was because everyone around me was picking Tim Burton. I went, okay, then fuck you, I'm going to choose the most complicated director I can think of. Fucking hell, I lived to regret that one. The films I did were The Cook, The Thief, The Wife and His Lover, which is pretty accessible for what it is. I remember there was one called 8.5 Women, which to this day I've got no fucking idea.
No.
It was obviously a takeoff of 8.5 and then, but it was to do with women and...
Whatever.
Not a clue.
Yeah.
And then I did The Baby and Macon, which involved a woman being raped 200 times.
Yes. I haven't seen that one. I've seen the other two. I think I stayed away from the other one for certain reasons. I can't think what off the top of my head. No.
You'll never guess who I did for my author theory essay.
Nicolas Cage.
Close.
Don't know, make one.
George Romero.
Oh, that was my backup option, in case I got laughed out of the room for Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did George. Was going to do John, but I didn't.
No? No. Too easy for
too
you.
Too easy, isn't it? Too obvious.
Yeah. Too obvious. Ah. Where are we?
I've got no idea, but there we go. Is that the... university equivalent apparently was Scream, so I thought, well, we've got to do the sequel then. Scream 2.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So, I did watch all three in one night. I watched the first one. I thought, oh, by heck, that's good, isn't it? That's a good drop. Yeah, I thought, I think the first one's really fucking good, really fucking tight.
Hmm.
I think without Matthew Lillard, it doesn't... It's kind of, like, fairly monotone.
Yeah.
Hmm. But he kind of... He sells it so well.
Yeah.
And then at the end when he's like, when he's been fucked up and like, how are you going to get out of this one? He's like, oh, peer pressure.
Fuck it.
I was pressured into it.
So why did you, out of interest, what made you choose Scream 2 of the sequels? Was it just because it was the first one?
It was the first one. Right. And I think at some point in like an episode 175, we'll go back to Scream 3 and Scream 4. But so I just thought we'd start at the beginning. Yeah. Well, almost. And go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And if for some reason, like the ending bits of Scream 2 are what I remember most about the series as well. I don't know why, given, you know, with the stage and all that lot.
I think
spoilers
just,
for later.
Yeah. It's quite dramatically set, isn't it?
I think that's why.
Yeah, there's parts of this film that just so rapidly disappear up its own arse.
We'll get to them.
Yeah. There's points in the film where it's almost like someone was on the blower to Ridley Scott and said, right, Ridley, what would you do here? On a stage show, the hell I'd have tried.
Well, it's not 3 hours long and stuff does happen in the first hour, so I think it's harsh to compare it to Ridley Scott's.
It does, but there's like Handbrake turns into just weird, pretentious nonsense. And then that bloke from Sliders is hung up like Jesus at one point.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thingy-majiggy.
What's his face?
Something. Jerry O'Connell.
Him.
Is that what he's called?
Yeah.
Bloke from Sliders.
Was he not also in Vertical Limit, or was that someone else? Oh, no, that was the guy that was Robin in Batman and Robin.
Yeah, oh, that was him. Yeah.
Chris O'Connell, got my...
Is Vertical Limit the Charlie Sheen one? No, that's Terminal Velocity, sorry.
Yeah.
Is that another skydiving film, though?
Vertical Limit's about mountain climbers.
Wait, is that one with Tom Hanks in? Oh, no, that's the Terminal.
Fuck. Fuck!
Fuck! There's also Drop Zone by Wesley Snipes where I get everything mixed up.
It's going to be a long night, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with Scream 2. We're not avoiding talking about it.
No.
Just,
Well, I'm going to save my overarching thoughts on Scream 2's place within the franchise for the overarching thoughts bit at the end.
Absolutely, yes.
Fair enough.
I think I might do that then.
Yeah.
Call me conventional.
Wilson, would you like to dive headfirst into this massive mountain of cocaine you've prepared yourself?
There it is. Right there.
Yeah. So we begin at our film theatre, movie theatre, whatever you want to call it.
Call it cinema!
We're at the picture house.
We're at the flicks.
At the silver screen.
Oh, dear.
Dear, oh, dear. With the premiere of Stab. Ooh, whatever could this be based from?
Oh, dear.
I wonder.
Already it's just kind of bent over and got a whiff of itself, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Just a little whiff, though.
Everyone in it is kind of just like reading off this page of pretentious film theory nonsense.
I do feel like, though, it is taking the piss out of that rather than like absolving itself within it.
I don't know, does that section later on where they're all sat around in a classroom and they just throw out the most popular film names in the world? Star Wars. That's a film. Star Wars 3. That's a film. Godfather. Oh, shit.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that, won't we? Let's handle the cinema business first.
Yeah, handle the cinema, Wilson.
Yeah, I have a cinema for the premiere of Stab. And we've got a couple, and the woman's a bit of a film student. Well, she's got the exterior of a film student, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Very pretentious.
Former member of the Black Panthers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all that lot.
Yeah,
already very, I'd say, well, as it turns out, quite guarded against the film. Calls it a dumb white film about some dumb white girl getting stabbed.
I hate scary movies. I should be studying. You know I got a bio.
Baby, did I mention that these tickets are free? Free.
Sandra Bullock is playing right down the street.
Nobody want to pay $7.50 to see some Sandra Bullock shit. That she naked.
Oh, but you will sit through a movie called Stab.
It's adrenaline, Marie. Mm-hmm. It's good to be scared. It's primal, you know what I'm saying?
No, I'm going to tell you what it is, okay?
What?
It's a dumb-ass white movie about some dumb-ass white girls getting their white asses cut the fuck up, okay?
Yeah, I suppose Sandra Bullock is Miss Ethnicity, right?
Well, no, all I'm saying is that the horror genre is historical for excluding the African-American element.
Well, then how you get your PhD in black cinema, Sister Soldier?
Listen, I read my Entertainment Weekly, okay? I know my shit.
Yeah, Maureen, I read my Black Beat too, homie. Tonight we're going to have an all-black movie, all-black cast, all-black wardrobe, black eyes, everything, black eyed peas, the black cats.
Pretty much. Yeah, yeah. Which, I mean, at the time, when you think about it, these films were kind of getting so much fucking, because the novelty had worn off, it was kind of a case of there was a lot of eye rolling going on.
Yeah. And they've kind of done the star cameo thing a little bit, haven't they, as well?
Yeah.
Got old Jada Pinkett Smith doing it this time, wife of Will.
Minus the Smith at this point, mate.
Yeah, Jada Pinkett.
No Smith.
Don't know if she was, what she was actually famous for before this film, to be honest with you. What was she in before this?
I don't know.
She's just famous for just being Jada Pinkett.
Possibly. I'm sure she's in stuff throughout the 90s, though.
Hmm. Was she in Clueless?
No, that was Stacey something.
Wasn't her, then.
Because I immediately recognised her with the hair and everything. That's how I recognised her.
Yeah.
Oh, you've been in some and you look just the same, haven't you?
But yeah, the first thing I noticed about this scene is the absolute lack of etiquette in that cinema screen just, you know, brings me out in chills.
The Americans in cinemas, man.
Oh, fuck. God.
Yeah, yeah.
Throwing cop horn around, going around.
Cop horn?
Popcorn. And pretending to stab each other and wearing costumes. Ugh.
I think they had some kind of, I don't know, there was something in that that reminded me of, like, William Castle stuff, you know, when they used to have, like, skeletons flying across the ceiling and stuff like that.
Like smell-o-vision.
Yeah.
The Tingler.
Yes. I think there was something about this sequence that kind of ticked me off there. I can't remember what that was. But they had, carry on.
Lack of etiquette.
Lack of etiquette,
Terrible. And the opening scene of Stab, wouldn't you know it, is exactly the same as the opening scene of Scream.
Yeah.
Easy enough to say. But this time it's Heather Graham in the role.
It is Heather Graham.
Yeah.
Yes. With those massive golem-like eyes.
They're like globes. Yes. So I thought I was watching The Fly for a minute.
Yeah. It's quite an odd choice for Heather Graham to just be... It's basically a cameo, isn't it?
Yeah.
Was she famous at this point from Austin Powers?
Would have been, yeah. I think this was obviously their response to having Drew Barrymore in the first one. Yeah. And, oh my God, she gets killed right away.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously they couldn't find anyone else a bit more famous. So Heather Graham it is.
Yes, these same universe cameos that keep happening just blow my mind. At one point, what's her face off, friends?
Courtney Cox.
She actually says David Schwimmer when they're talking about casting.
Yeah.
And people are discussing David Schwimmer while she's in the room. I feel really uncomfortable about that.
Wasn't David Arquette play the killer boyfriend or someone that looks exactly like him?
I thought David Arquette played Dewey.
He does.
All right.
Was he not playing the killer boyfriend as well? In the clip of Stab that they show later?
No, that was Luke Wilson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They just all, like, look strangely familiar.
It's really confusing.
It's fucking well
done. So, this scene in Stab is exactly almost word for word the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
While that's going on, Jada Pinkett, she escapes. Well, she pretends she's not scared. She's quite clearly scared. She goes out for popcorn instead.
Mm-hmm.
It gets absolutely shitted up by someone in a scream mask jumping up and blur.
Yeah, I can't think what's going to happen in this sequence, but it's kind of... That was sarcasm, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's quite tense because you kind of know what's coming, but you don't know when it will come because there's 300 people in the costume at any given time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think it works quite well.
Yeah.
Then,
go on, sorry.
No, I was going to move on to the next bit. So
something else that I think works quite well about this opening sequence is the use of the old Scream theme, which is Red Right Hand by Nick Cave, which kind of recurs throughout all of the films.
Yeah.
And it's got a nice little sort of spooktacular vibe to it as well. Think it fits with this better than it does with Peaky Blinders.
Yes, it's got a good People Are Strange vibe.
Yeah,
and it just sits in the film so well.
Yeah, it does exactly. Yeah. But this, I think the score throughout is pretty good.
Solid stuff. It's almost like 50s, 60s cinema score.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Not at all that tacky.
No.
Although Eleanor did have a minor flip out when they just kind of bring in a song.
They're just shoving
a song.
The 90s sort of teen hit of the day.
Yeah, they better be listening to that song when it cuts to the inside of the house, or I'm going to...
Next release. Sorry, next, continue.
Yes.
The boyfriend goes to the toilet and then he gets stabbed in the cubicle. I redo it for. I think it's a scary movie where there's an actual glory hole.
Yeah, I mean, everyone. That's the problem with this sequence now. Yeah. Is that you immediately go to scary movie?
You do, yes.
Yeah.
I've not watched that back since I was 13. Is this bit still funny in scary movie?
I watched it quite recently. It's still pretty funny.
Yeah. Because I think back to Jada Plinkett going back to her seat and in Scary Movie they'll just all start stabbing her because she keeps screaming at the screen and everyone just goes, oh fuck off. So
it could have been like the Murder on the Orient Express situation where everyone just had a go at her.
Yeah. Whereas here someone in a screen mask or ghost face mask I should say goes and returns, so she thinks it's her boyfriend but no, it's someone quite stabby and then she gets it in the stomach.
Yep, and this is quite a horrible sequence.
It is.
Yeah, it is. She's surrounded by people, but no one's helping her.
Yeah, because they either all think it's part of the act of the screening, or they all think, die, bitch.
Yeah,
it could be either or, and I think that's what's really effective about this scene.
Yeah.
And it sort of turns around right towards the end where all bloody, she's up against the screen when she falls down in front of it, and everyone's like, oh shit, this is for real, probably.
I was hoping there would be a drop to silence and everyone went.
But yeah, she does a bit of pretty impressive overacting when she collapses and dies on the top of the screening stage.
Yeah.
And apart from the pre-credit sequence in the first film, this is actually probably my favourite one of the sequels, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, they've all got one in. I don't know if you guys have seen Scream 4. Scream 4 goes way, way too fucking far with the whole idea.
Yeah. Is that the one where there's literally about 20 cameos?
Yeah. It's like a false start within a false start. False startception.
Yeah.
I won't spoil it for you, Dave, because you've not seen it yet.
Oh, it's her from Heroes. I'm sure she'll have a long-lasting career.
Spicy. Do unity be shining anything in the storm?
Spicy Willy. Ooh.
Big Larry
Files. Spicy Willy. Spicy. Oh, that's spicy. Goddamn. Ooh. That's spicy. The Godfather Part 3 was the best. The Fog was boring. I prefer the remake. Ooh. Spicy. Willy style.
Controversial Willy strikes again.
Big Willy style.
Fuck right off.
So, then we go to Sydney. Obviously, yep. Neve Campbell, back from the first film, mm-hmm. and from all the other films. Spoiler.
Yep. She's at uni and getting prank calls from knobheads.
Yep. But she has the foresight to have caller ID.
Yes, yeah. Does, yeah.
Very 90s, kind of like beeper style.
Yeah.
System, brilliant.
Like that fucking LCD like, timer watch sort of screen.
Oh, it's a crystal display, Willy. And then she picks up the caller ID machine and there's like five cables coming out of it and you think, oh God, someone's going to fall over. Oh, stop it, no.
Nothing gets me going more than the unnecessary level of cabling involved in 90s tech.
I know, man.
Fucking fantastic. Mm.
And if it's silver.
Oh stop it.
Hold me down.
Tamagotchi put a stop to all that though, didn't it, really?
Did it?
I think so, yeah. That was like the first thing I remember. And them little Digimon things where you like just pressed them together. There was no cables involved.
You like Game Boy?
Yeah, but I'd never really liked Game Boys.
You mean they didn't have any wires just because you didn't like it?
No, but... I was speaking from my own personal life experience, though, rather than, you know, overarching.
Yeah, you've lived a privileged life, it must be said.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I think Tamagotchi was cheaper than Game Boys.
Yeah, right? They were, mate.
A wireless Rob.
Wireless Rob.
Fuck you.
I wonder why you didn't know how to plug your PS2 in at uni.
Yeah, I'm really bad at that kind of shit this day, mate, honestly.
Why is this TV not working?
I mean, this is nothing to do with Scream 2, but I'm currently in the process of building up to installing in the bedroom at home one of them TV things that you attach TV to the wall.
A socket. Bracket.
The bracket, yeah.
Or a socket.
Yeah, the bracket. So I'm building up to that. And
that's not hard. That's just the drilling screws out.
It's not hard for normal people, Dave.
Huh?
It's not hard for normal people. I'll probably drill through to next door and cause the wall to collapse, killing the two small children that live the other side of the wall.
Yeah,
it's the kind of thing that's going to happen to me.
Yeah.
Well, they've got a trampoline. They deserve it.
True. Anyway, sorry, Scream 2.
Yep. Sydney sees on TV that Cotton is doing... is a book tour, isn't it? He's trying to...
100% Cotton, mate.
Yeah.
No. He's trying to... Well, that's Scream 3, that, mate. 100% Cotton.
Yeah, I know, but I just wanted to say...
Comes later.
Yeah.
One day we'll get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wants his 15 minutes, doesn't he, basically?
Yeah.
So Cotton is the bloke from the first film who was wrongly accused of killing Sydney's mother.
That's right.
And he went to prison for a year.
Yes, mate. And now he's out like Elton John on the prowl.
Well and truly on the prowl for fame.
Yes, mate.
And Sydney also sees the news about the cinema stopping. And...
oh, no.
Yeah.
She thinks, oh, damn, that's not good.
Yeah. This all somehow relates to me. We mean, in all fairness, she then gets badgered by journalists as she walks to class.
Yeah, straight away. Yeah.
Straight away.
Which is a bit unfair on her, but, you know.
Yeah. And then we get many a youth watching this film, Spirit Animal, introduced.
Many
himself.
A youth.
Good old Randy. He's back. Randy the Geek.
Absolutely, yeah. He keeps it fun, though. He's always good fun.
Sporting some seriously dodgy fucking facial furniture in this film, though. Yeah. That goatee's not working for him, is it?
No. That's a 90s thing, isn't it? It's gone now.
You've got him a wet curtain look.
Oh.
Maybe we should bring that back. God. You know, like, cut around a bowl and everything, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's good. So, anyway, film class.
Film class. Very very star-heavy film class.
Yeah.
We've got Sarah Michelle Gellar, Joshua Jackson cameo, Timothy Oliphant.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Good question. Were we this pretentious when we were younger, talking about films?
I don't know. None of us were that good-looking or cool in our chairs. Because all of these people have got a fucking pose on.
Yeah, they have, yeah.
Timothy Oliphant could not be manspreading anymore if he tried. Just so far reclined.
Yeah.
Jesus, if I did that now, I'd pop my spine. Yeah.
he sort of like immediately identifies as the anti-Randy, like Randy's sort of nemesis on the film Geekology Wankfest that's going on. Yeah. Where they're talking about sequels, very meta.
Yeah,
incredibly. And if they are ever superior to their originals.
The movie itself.
That is so moral majority. You can't blame real life violence on entertainment.
What? Wait a second. Yes, you can. Don't you even watch the news?
Yeah, hello. The murderer was wearing a ghost mask, okay? Just like in the movie, it's directly responsible.
No, it's not. Movies are not responsible for our actions.
It's a classic case of life imitating art, imitating
this
life.
This is not a hypothetical. It's not about art. I had biology with that girl. This is reality.
Thank you. I agree with you. Let me tell you about reality, Mickey. I lived through this, okay? Life is life. It doesn't imitate anything.
Come on, Randy. With all due respect, the killer obviously patterned himself after two serial killers who have been immortalized on film.
Thank you, Ryan. Are you suggesting that someone's trying to make a real-life sequel?
Stab 2?
Who'd want to do that? Sequels suck.
No way.
Come on, man. Oh, please, please. By definition alone, they're inferior films.
It's bullshit generalization. Many sequels have surpassed their original.
Oh, yeah?
Name one.
Yeah. Aliens. Far better than the first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there's no accounting for taste.
Thank you, Ridley Scott rules. Name another.
No. Aliens is a classic, okay? Get away from her, you bitch.
I believe the line is stay away from her, you bitch. It's film class, right?
Yeah, gotcha. Whatever, you know what I mean.
Another.
T2.
Mm. You've got a hard-on for Cameron.
Big one.
But wait a second. The first Terminator is historical.
Yeah.
Sarah Connor?
Yes.
Wait, come on. All right, okay. House 2, the second story.
What?
The entire horror genre was destroyed by sequels.
I got it, by the way. I got it. The Godfather, part 2.
Yeah.
They do make a point about T2, though.
Yeah.
But no one mentions Gremlins 2.
No one mentions Gremlins 2, mate. No. I would argue that's because the first one's better.
What, Gremlins 2?
I think Gremlins 1's better than Gremlins 2.
Oh, I thought we had a conversation about this.
They're both very good. Mm. It's not much in it. But you see, I would also say that The Godfather Part 2 is probably better than Godfather Part 1.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There's not Godfather Part 3 in Willie's case.
Oh, we've turned into them people, haven't we?
Yeah.
Oh, God, how did that happen?
Oh, God.
That's a clever film.
Dave, stop manspreading.
I can't. It hurts to...
So, name me your better sequel. Sequel better from the original. Go.
Yeah, don't rush me now.
Go.
The Fly 2 is better than Cronenberg's Fly 1. We can both do spicy, Wills.
As in the original Fly 2?
I mean,
two.
I was just taking...
Alright, okay.
I think we're forgetting
Bride
about...
of Frankenstein's better than Frankenstein.
Yeah, shout.
Yeah.
Shout.
Yeah.
I think we're forgetting the best sequel of all time, though, here.
This is going to involve Nicolas Cage, isn't it?
No.
Bad Boys 2.
Oh, yeah. Infinitely. Hey. Infinitely.
Hey.
Yeah,
Bad Boys
yeah.
3 coming soon.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I saw your little thing the other day. Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, keep talking. Look, he wants to say something. That's quite good.
I was just going to mention only the award-winning Amityville Horror 4.
Oh, yes. Fair enough, Willie. Yeah, that's not spicy. That's a fact.
Facts, Willie. Facts, Willie.
Oh, factception. Scream 2, anyway.
Yeah. So, to recap, pretentious wankers. Yes. Moving on.
Do we get Jerry O'Connell next?
I don't know, do we?
Squeaky clean boyfriend.
Yes.
Sliders.
Too squeaky clean, like too. I love it. He does that thing. I can't remember who it was that you were talking about in one of the previous episodes, where it's like he's trying desperately to put himself over as I'm actually the baddie. Like he's always looking shifty. Like as soon as Dewey tips up or the cops tip up, he's like, oh god damn it, I'm the bad guy.
Yeah. Oh, he cut me on a non-essential part of my body, then ran away. He ran that way. Honest.
Yeah.
Honest. Yeah. He's a classic sort of 2000s. Teen horror comedy, non-offensive boyfriend.
Yes.
If he'd have stuck around long enough, he would have been in season 5 of Buffy.
Yeah.
Fair. He's the dullest man ever.
Fair.
Yeah. Sliders was good, though. Sliders!
You're obsessed with Sliders. Have you just watched it or something?
No, it's the only thing I've seen him in, apart from this.
Let's slide on.
Oh!
No!
Oh! Mm.
So Gail Weathers, obviously Carly Cox, she's back part of the press conference scrum, and we've also got a weird sort of journalist sort of mithering around her.
Very, very keen local journalist woman who's a fan of Courtney Cox and definitely won't come into play later.
Absolutely not. Fucking weird fringe going on as well, man.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Very weird hair. Short haircut with a suit that is straight out of like fucking 90s TV drama.
But never mind that. We've also got only the WCW World Heavyweight Champion.
It's David Arquette.
Yes. So, Rob, what was your favourite bit of David Arquette's illustrious WCW career?
I mean, it has to be the triple steel cage thing, doesn't it?
Yep.
Is that where he won the title?
No, this is where he defended it against Jeff Jarrett and DDP.
Oh, so didn't he pull a swerve on DDP at the end?
He did. He turned bad guy on DDP and let Jeff Jarrett win his title for some reason. Don't know why.
Because WCW 2000.
Yeah. Don't know my favourite one.
God.
When he interfered in a match between Buff Bagwell and Canyon, a Judy Bagwell and a forklift match.
Oh, the greatest match in the history of gimmick matches.
Yeah. And he hit Canyon in the head with a hard hat.
I mean, there are no words to describe David Arquette's time in WCW.
Did you know it? Because he doesn't get any work anymore, he's actually trained to become a wrestler and he's now wrestling.
Yeah, really? I've seen that on the internet, yeah.
Yeah, like as in like, only a few months or so, but he's actually basically a full-time wrestler now.
Jesus. Is he still married to Courtney Cox?
No, they got divorced, like, what, 10 years ago?
Oh, I don't think it was that long. Like, it was just before Scream 4.
Once the surgery kicked in, I don't blame him.
But about to say, held on for a long time to her. Good job.
Yeah. She was, in my opinion, the hottest woman that was in Friends. That's a spicy take.
No, you're right. You are right. So. Absolutely right.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Glad to be.
I don't know.
Not now.
Well, I mean, no. But I mean, back then. I don't know if I'd say Phoebe. Maybe.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got the quirky hippie thing going on.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. I do like that sort of thing.
Yeah, like you'd ask her to do something and you just end up with 20 frogs in your house. It's like, right.
Oh, I'm afraid of frogs.
That's not taking the bins out, but...
No, I've changed my mind. I can't deal with frogs. No frogs. Thank you. Gail, moving on.
Back to Scream 2, yeah.
Back to Scream 2. Where we, like, what, half hour in? And about two sequences.
Yeah, we are half an hour
fucking
in.
We need to crack on here, lads.
Cracking on. So Gail approaches Sydney for an interview and then brings out Cotton for a face-to-face reunion.
What a heel she is in this film.
Oh, God, yeah.
Fucking hell.
She spends more time than times on Big Show in this film.
Oh,
she
really my God, does, honestly, mate. She's all over the place.
It's nuts, yeah. Yeah, she wheels him out and then I think they... Cotton says something about doing a face-to-face thing, interview on live TV, and obviously Sydney's not that bothered about that.
No, I mean, she's a bit bothered. She stops Gail and walks off.
Yeah, I mean, she's like not bothered about doing it.
No.
She is a bit annoyed about it.
Yeah.
So Gail gets sparked out again.
Perfectly understandable, yeah.
I'd spark her out as well, bitch.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And then Gail and Dewey speak to each other like a reunion after the first film.
It's a bit awkward.
With Dewey coming out with the worst line of dialogue I've ever heard. And I've written it down here. And
please
tell
us.
I might give it a go. How do you know my dim-witted... I can't even read my fucking writing.
It's good because you got the moustache going as well.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing, isn't it? How do you know my dim-witted inexperience isn't merely a subtle form of manipulation used to lower people's expectations, thereby... I can't even read my right name, anymore. What's going on?
Something like renders me, makes me able to effectively maneuver myself in any given situation or some shit like that.
Yeah.
I've seen this film a lot of times.
So your delivery was better.
Yeah. It was as believable as this line of dialogue, really.
Wasn't the best. No. Wasn't the best line of dialogue written in any of the Scream films.
No.
But speaking of poor dialogue, we was over to one of the fraternity houses next, do we? Sarah Michelle
we do,
Gellar.
Yes. Yep.
It was Home Alone, and the phone rings.
That was me doing my Home Alone face.
I thought that was the Scream mask.
That too.
Very good.
Same thing. So what if Macaulay Culkin did it?
Macaulay Culkin?
I got no idea what I'm doing on.
Well, you know,
that cocaine, Willie.
That line of inquiry does come into play in Scream 4 to an extent.
Mm.
But there we go. So she answers the phone, and it's all ghosty, isn't it? Who she thinks is her pissed boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Usual you know it is.
Omega Beta Zeta.
Hello.
Yes?
Who is this?
Cece. Who's this?
Who do you think?
Ted? Where are you? Are you drinking? Hold on. Ted's on the other line. He sounds drunk. I'll call you back.
That shit only calls you when he's drunk. Don't go over there, Cece.
All right. I'll call you back. Okay, Ted, you sound loaded. What's up?
Who's Ted?
Oh, I'm sorry, my bad. I thought you were someone else.
That's okay, I am.
Who are you calling for? Nobody's here.
Where is everybody?
We're co-sponsoring the Acid Rain Mixer at Pi Gamma Alpha tonight.
Why aren't you there?
I'm sober, sister. I need to be here in case a drunk sister calls and needs a ride.
That's too bad.
Drink with your brain. That's our motto. Who are you calling for?
What if I said you?
What if I said goodbye?
Why would you want to do that?
Why do you always answer a question with a question?
I'm inquisitive.
Yeah, and I'm impatient. Look, do you want to leave a message for someone?
Do you want to die tonight, Cece?
It's the Ghostface Killer.
Yeah, it is.
Calling someone alone in a house.
Yeah.
Could it be a spook house?
Oh.
Spook house!
Well, she thinks she's alone in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, fuck you, you're a dick, I'm hanging up.
Mm-hmm.
And she hangs up and he's like, I'm going to kill you. And she's like, whatever, mate.
Actual lines of dialogue.
Yeah. And then her mate rings her and she's like, oh, some weird dickhead's just rung me. And she's like, oh, right, okay, why don't you just fucking ring security? And then she goes, oh, I'm just going to go out of the house. And then for some reason, one step out of the house stops the phone working. And she's like, oh, no, I'm going to have to go back in the house. And then the killer rings again.
Yeah.
And then she starts hearing shit upstairs.
Yeah. Which is why in the 90s you have wires on everything.
Yes.
Because when you go wireless, rich boy Rob,
you
lose
fucking
signal in your handset, don't you?
Are you fucking Tamagotchi?
Because I'm poor.
One step out of the house. Where's my Tamagotchi gone?
I didn't have all of this premium equipment when I was younger because I didn't live in Grimsby and nick it off everyone else.
Oh, come on now, that's not fair.
Hey.
That's a racist.
Hey.
No.
Fuck Grimsby.
Our uncles did the nicking, we didn't nick it.
Yeah. It was gifted to us.
200 basketball jerseys? Why, thank you, uncle.
Yeah.
So there was one time, like in a random pub with my dad, and a man just walked up with a bin bag full of magic cards and I was giving him, like, about 600 magic cards. Incidentally, we were across the road from a place that sold magic cards.
Brilliant.
That's beautiful, that is.
Yeah.
That's beautiful, just giving them away.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So anyway, Scream 2.
Yeah.
Sarah Michelle Gellar gets chased around the house a bit,
mm.
and then she gets stabbed a bit and thrown off a balcony a bit, and then she spats on the floor a bit.
No, well, you see, it's a subversion because Buffy the Vampire Slayer originally was written in response to the girl at the beginning of the film that always got stabbed to death.
Right.
And the idea was, well, what if they were like a big superhero instead? So this is subverting it because she's returning to that role.
So it's subverting the subversion.
Exactly.
It's basically resetting back to the point at which we started, effectively.
Yeah.
Right. So there we go.
Make horror great again.
Yeah. So she's dead.
Yeah.
And then we go off to a party scene, which is the most 90s party scene in the history of 90s party scenes. And it feels mm-hmm. like any film in this era has to have this. It's like a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can't fucking make the film unless you have a naff fucking party scene with them little red cups.
Yes, mate, little red cups and a band that sound like Creed but aren't Creed constantly playing. Yeah.
Correct, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Three chords.
Yes, mate, absolutely. That's being generous, mate. Fucking hell.
I am generous.
Creed's on the stereo, and it is a stereo. Little red cups everywhere. There's a couple of chunky dudes in big shirts shotgunning beers. It's all very
It is actually Creed, isn't it? They did do the main song for one of the films.
I'm going to have to look this up now.
I'm sure they did.
Because everyone sounded like Creed at one point.
Yeah.
Because I must admit this now. I was into Creed when I was younger.
And I was into Creed when I was younger.
And I'm sure one of their music videos was actually a tie-in with one of the Scream films.
I've still got My Sacrifice on my iTunes.
My Sacrifice! Wasn't that over... The first time I heard that, I think, was over a montage of Triple H getting his leg better or something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
a quad.
The
Desire videos.
Yeah. Those were mint. Like, the only good thing about late 2001...
Maybe as a bonus episode, we should just review the WWF Desire videos.
I think we should fuck off this podcast and start a wrestling one instead.
Oh, Jesus.
That's it. We'd do a rescue podcast where we just put in horror references.
Subversion.
Oh my god, resetting to point one.
Yeah.
So speaking of resetting to point one, mid-party, all the flashy lights start happening, and they're like, oh my god, something's happened at the other fraternity house, we best go and have a look.
Someone's probably dead, let's have a look.
Yeah! And so in a situation that I can only describe as slightly contrived,
ooh,
we end up with Sid and her creepy boyfriend flying over there for a gander, and slowly but surely joined by a stuttery kind of limpy Dewey, who all just happened to be within earshot.
Yeah, yeah. Just waiting, sat there with a coffee, waiting for something to happen.
Yeah. Also, you have Gail on the scene, and you have the weird other reporter, who apparently has already got the scoop, as she's running off very quickly.
Yeah. She got the scoop. She's running away.
And that's just, you know, something incidental.
One thing I did like about this little sequence is that when Neve Campbell enters the house, you're expecting her to sort of like have a bit of a spooktacular look around and nothing much happened.
But no, mate.
Ghosty goes fucking straight for her.
Yeah, he's still in there.
I really like this.
I liked it as well.
Because it's like, what, maybe 20, 30 minutes into the film and already there's a confrontation. We're not leaving it to the end. Now, that's a good subversion of expectations. So. Yeah.
It is good that he just keeps it ramping.
Yeah.
So, I've not got to the Creed bit yet. But there is a song by Dave Matthews Band.
Of course there is.
Which would explain why I did fall asleep during this film for 3 minutes.
So 90s.
Dave Matthews Band, fucking hell.
What next, Hootie and the Blowfish?
I would like to do a cross comparison of the soundtrack, not the original score, but the songs used within the first two Scream films, against the songs used in the I Know What You Did Last Summer films, and see how many of them are pretty much the same.
See how many waveforms line up.
Yeah.
You've got Less Than Jake, Foo Fighters.
Oh, which Foo Fighters?
I've gone past it now, sorry.
Okay.
We could scroll back, Dave.
Sugar Ray, no, that was a while ago. You two were nattering while I was trying to...
sorry, we were presenting the podcast while you were fucking about on Wikipedia.
And Hans Zimmer did the music, apparently.
I've got the
interesting.
I've got the Scream 1 and 2 double vinyl.
Have you now?
At home, yeah.
Ooh, nice.
Very nice special dish case. I'll show you it when you come round for half a day.
Yeah. I might trade you it back for your vinyls I borrowed 2 years ago.
Oh, right. So you're swapping my vinyl for you. Yeah. Okay, fine. Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
Right, Scream 2.
Scream 2.
So, yeah, there's a tussle and then Derek...
A rummage? Or a tussle?
No, just a tussle.
No rummage.
Yeah. There's a tussle, and then Derek, our very bland boyfriend...
Slider.
He appears, and he slides into...
Don't make eye contact when you do that.
Slide. Elsewhere in the house, to have a tussle with Ghostface, and that's where he gets his convenient slash across the arm that doesn't really hit any arteries.
Dramatically convenient wound. It's slasher film cliche number 73.
But then again, did Ghostface do that? To set him up, to be...
Well, it's kind of... there is an element of him being set up in the final act of the film as well.
I know, that's why I'm thinking this might be...
Maybe so. Clever Ghostface.
Clever girl.
And then at the hospital, Derek and the WCW champion accuse each other, essentially, of being Ghostface. That's the thing that happens.
Yep.
And then at the police station... we establish that this is a copycat killer because this ghosty face is killing off people with similar names from the first time.
Fucking Detective Gail Weathers finding the most improbable link between the victims.
Now, this is contrived.
Oh, you've stolen my gimmick.
Oh, hello.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, listeners.
PG-13, please.
Yeah, so that happens, and then we cut to...
Although it's never brought up again, just to point out.
No, it's not once, isn't it? You blink and you miss it, sort of.
It's not really, you're just being a bit of a smart-ass here.
Yeah.
Speaking of blinking, you miss it, speaking of something I wish I'd fucking blinked and missed, is fucking Slider. And he's really fucking cringeworthy Top Gun routine in the cafeteria.
That's magic, that, isn't it?
I've got a better singing voice than this motherfucker.
I've never seen such just like a vacuum of charisma.
Yeah.
Top Gun sucks.
Yeah. Top Gun fucking sucks.
I thought you all liked Top Gun.
No.
No, I've watched it once. I really enjoyed it, and I've tried watching it a couple of times since, and I just cannot get into the groove. I'm just really not interested.
Who is it? I don't know. Really likes Top Gun, man.
Nige.
Does he?
Yeah.
Bloody old Nige.
Nige McDougal.
Letting the team down, isn't he?
Yeah, Nige. Yeah. If you're listening, Nige, let us all down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and anyway, the cringeworthy bullshit results in Chris O'Donnell, is it? Chris O'Connell?
No, but Chris O'Connell. Donald's Robin.
All right, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm getting my fucking apostrophe.
My old actors mixed up.
I do find, by the way, just on that the note on the sing-along thing, that he couldn't just get up on the table and sing a song. He has to get up on the table, sing a song, and someone has to go, that's from Top Gun.
Yeah.
Another film.
I mean, it must have took a lot of takes to get that fucking right, because it's so pony. I can only imagine what the outtakes must have been. Anyway, this bullshit results in him giving Sydney his fraternity Greek letters, which apparently is a big no-no. You see, I don't understand all this fraternity bullshit, because I'm not American.
No, right? I don't.
It just seems like a cult to me.
Yeah, it's a little bit odd. Like, you have to obey these rules, and it's like, well, not really. I'm paying to be here.
Yeah, you obey these rules for 3 years and then laugh about it in years to come.
Yeah, yeah.
What sort of rules are there? I thought these fraternity houses just like drinking and spanking each other.
No, there's loads of like really strict, like the letters thing is a legitimate thing. I did a little bit of research afterwards, and like certain fraternities can associate with other fraternities, and women aren't allowed to come into the fraternity, men's fraternity house, and black people are allowed in some fraternities.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry out, America. It's all that, and there's like Jewish fraternities, and everything's very divided. Yeah.
I don't like the fact that if you break the rules, then, you know, you get, like, chained to the top of a car and driven around town or some shit like that.
Yeah, or dunked repeatedly in a barrel full of piss until you nearly drown.
I don't get that, because if someone tried to do that for me, I would actually stab a cunt.
Yeah, I mean, you're not putting me in no barrel full of piss.
Absolutely not. No, it's like, that's not in the rules. I mean, it's self-defense, though, isn't it? It's basic self-defense.
Yeah.
Just ring the police on them. Fucking fraternities. What's fraternizing about a fraternity, anyway?
Well, I don't understand.
What's the connection there, Rob?
Following rules and...
Yeah.
Well, the point of a fraternity, the dictionary definition, is a fraternity is a group that are bonded together, almost like an extended family, and they support and look after each other in a communal way. Dunking someone in a barrel full of piss as an entry test...
Yeah.
...is not very fraternalistic. That's not a word, but fuck it. Anyway, Scream 2.
Scream 2.
Next, we go to another clip from Stab. This is our Luke Wilson cameo.
Ah, right, yeah. He looks a lot like David Arquette.
Yeah, emo Luke Wilson, as it turns out.
That hair is just on point.
Yeah, and Tony Spelling as well.
Tony Spelling, Jesus, they dug her out of this cesspool of 90s failed careers for this little bit, didn't they? Fucking hell.
And then we get Randy with Huey. More meta stuff. They've got to follow the rules of a sequel. It's incredibly 90s in its smugness. You know,
it's fucking written by Vince Russo, this, mate. I'll tell you
that. It feels like it, yeah.
Oh!
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't start referring to Sydney as Neve halfway through it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very good reference.
I'm refusing to follow the script.
And also...
It's my dream to write a script that's basically like someone breaks 4-4 and refuses to try to find out how it gets to
sits in the middle of the ring.
Well, I think Dave might be onto something here with the Russo thing. Because again, in the climactic scenes, a character does find them pinned up finds themselves pinned up in a very higher power sequence kind of way. You know, when Undertaker had that big effigy and he pinned Austin to it, very similar.
No.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Now, like, what I want to do, I want to go right for Coronation Street, and I want Ken Ballard's halfway through go, I'm not even called Ken. My name's Bill.
just turns up in his Bill.
And he just like walk off.
Turns up in his jog pants, pulls his wig off, says his real name, and then leaves.
Turns up at EastEnders a week later.
So anyway, Scream 2. So the next bit is where Randy gets a call from the killer, I believe.
Well, we've got a little bit first. Sydney rehearsing her stage play.
Well, that's quite dull, isn't it? But go on, fire away.
Gave me flashbacks to tap dancing in Exorcist 2, this.
It is a bit, yeah.
Yeah, it's so fucking naff.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right, there is the rehearsal, and there's the monologue about fate, which is a direct rip from Halloween.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I mean, there was a nice little bit where she's swimming along over people with weird masks, some of it is a ghost face in there.
Visually, it's
quite nice, but it's like, why is this in here?
Yeah. To be a stage within a screen, Wilson.
Mm. Although I think they've got to establish the stage for later on, but I think we do enough of that later on for this to not be here, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
And I don't know if the whole fate angle works with, like, Scream 2. I mean,
is that really what the film's about?
Well, no. It's not what the film's about, is it? It's about fucking revenge of a mad person, which we'll get to later.
It came out bang on a year later. This is not a fucking...
It's like
skin deep stuff.
This is about what happens when you take media studies.
Yeah, it very much is. Yeah, I reckon that Vince Russo took a media studies course when he wrote this film.
Yeah, could you imagine if this film would come out now?
No,
like, just people going, well, yeah,
well, duh.
And everyone will go back to Starbucks for their chai lattes and discuss it.
This is very much a film of its time. I think this was before most media was about the deconstruction of media itself.
Yeah, this feels like it's kind of a novelty and it's constantly winking at you.
Yeah.
Through the screen sort of thing. It's ultimate attitude era stuff.
Mm.
It just couldn't be more self-referential. But you can't get away with that stuff now because it's like, I know YouTube exists.
Everyone is so savvy about this sort of thing these days, you know.
So what happens next, Willie?
Well, we go outside for our Randy is about to die-a-thon.
This makes me a bit sad every time. Yeah. I do quite like Randy as a character.
But first of all, Gail, I can't remember what she says now, but with a Jennifer Aniston reference.
Really?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
I can't remember what she says now, something about her clothes were fitting... One thing like Jennifer Aniston or something like that. I didn't get down the exact dialogue, but I think every single film she's got to reference one of her co-stars.
Yeah, she does. I think David Schwimmer, she does reference David Schwimmer as well. So that's two in one film.
Contractor required.
Mm-hmm. If she'd have mentioned Lost in Space, I might have just done a fucking backflip.
The only person in the world that would have done a backflip.
Yeah.
Negative backflip, mate.
So, Ghostface is on the phone, and they decide to split off. So Randy stays on the phone talking to him while Gail and Dewey, who are there, for some reason they think, oh, it's a phone call. It must be in the immediate vicinity instead of...
Just fuck off and start looking under bushes.
Yeah, it's like, you're thinking of walkie-talkies.
Yeah. It's because the killer says something to Randy to make him believe that they can see him.
Yeah, but it could literally be in a building three blocks away, looking down.
Looking through binoculars, for fuck's sake. It could be like the JFK assassination all over again.
Yeah.
He could have access to satellites and is getting the imagery through.
Oh, God, here we go.
From secret government sort of...
Just because it's a 90s film does not mean it has to have satellites in it, will he?
Enhance.
So he gets tagged the fuck out, doesn't he, basically?
This is a shame.
In a van. He gets in the back of the van.
He does.
Get me back of the van!
There we go.
Yeah.
And he gets tagged out in the van. At this point, I thought it was step-in camera guy.
Right.
I thought it was the black fella, the camera guy,
who
had just kind of waltzed off and said he didn't want anything more to do with it.
Yeah.
Because it was his van.
Yeah,
but then he's immediately back, like literally a minute later, with a load of donuts. So it's probably not him. If being honest,
unless the donuts were in the van,
but they weren't.
No,
they weren't. So it's goodbye from Randy anyway. He does briefly appear in Scream 3 in a different context, but quite sad about that.
Mm.
Gets me every time.
So to the library,
with creepy Cotton.
Yeah. And Sydney getting a message on a computer saying, you are going to die tonight.
Which, very MSN messenger situation.
Yeah. It's just like being on Twitter every day, isn't it?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So, to note, she's got two policemen following her every footsteps now, you know, to give her protection.
Mm-hmm.
But while they're scanning around, they have her stand around the corner out of their view. For some reason, and then there's Cotton.
Just to facilitate this awkward scene.
Yeah, just to facilitate the awkward scene with Cotton.
Some might say that's slightly contrived.
Oh, you fucking settle down, please.
Sorry.
Calm down.
Sorry.
The listeners can only take so much.
Sorry, guys.
Good grief. And he again pitches that we should go on primetime TV together for an interview so we can get his fame, all that bollocks. Does Cotton really deserve a redemption story? This is going to come up later on, but at this point, do you really think, well, this is a guy I can sympathise with?
Not yet.
He's pushed so creepy in the start of it, when you just kind of think, you should just make him a little bit pushy and that's it.
By the end of it, you could argue that he does deserve something of a redemption storyline.
But at this point, he is pretty psychotic.
He's just a sleazy bastard who wants his 15 minutes of fame.
Floating around, Sydney, can I just touch you a little bit?
You know what, in this scene, I did think he'd make a great Chris Benoit, because Lee Schreiber, he was at one point attached to a biopic about Chris Benoit called Crossface. And I assume it's dead now because it's been talked about for a decade, but he'd have made a great Chris Benoit. That was my thought of this scene.
Yeah.
So many wrestling references in this episode.
Oh, check Kickstarter, I reckon that documentary is still trying to get funded.
Oh, my God.
Probably.
Fuck a doodle do. It's never going to happen. Let it go.
No. Scream 2.
Scream 2. So, yeah, so after the talk show chat, we have a little scene of Dewey and Gale burying the hatchet, which is a little bit fucking convenient as well.
I said a different C word then.
I did, yeah, I'm trying to mix it up a little bit.
I thought a rude word was coming there.
And they decide from fucking nowhere, this is the second time in this film that Gale Weathers has had some kind of like Poirot-esque attack of incredible detective abilities, and is from absolutely thin air pulled out the theory that if the killer's watching them all the time, which we don't fucking know for starters, then they must be on the tapes from all the newsreel footage that she's been getting with the cameraman, who's fucked off.
I completely lost track of the plot. This is what made me think it was the camera guy.
Yeah, because he fucks off it because he's like, no, fuck y'all, I'm off.
Yeah, but all the tapes they had, which I assumed were from him, show the original couple getting killed. And I thought,
why was he filming?
Well, it doesn't make sense, this scene, because they review the footage and it's fine. And then they start having a good old rummage, don't they, Wilson?
It's about time they, you know.
And then, like, she gets distracted by saying it's not my tapes, and you're quite right. That's weird. Mm-hmm. Why would the tapes be there? But then it's like, it's basically quickly shown that Ghostface is in charge of somehow manipulating the he starts filming them.
It goes to live footage. It can be done, I reckon, if you've got a correct AV setup, so you've got a camera connected at the back and you're able to basically change the source.
If you're doing film studies at like an American college, you know, if you were a film student, you would know how to. I'm not saying a Ghostface killer is a film student.
No, not at all.
Were it to be revealed that he had a film background, he might know how to do that.
Yeah.
It's a bit weird, though, isn't it? The whole setup.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the scene's a bit weird, and I wanted to talk to you specifically, Dev, about this scene, because the geography's fucking weird here. Like, of this whole sequence, the geography's a little bit fucked up. Yeah. Like, Dewey runs up the stairs to try and find the killer.
Yeah.
And then the killer sort of somehow gets round in the projection room, and next thing you know, he comes from the bottom side, at the bottom of the...
Is this with the soundproof glass?
We're not there yet.
Okay,
no.
Right.
So this is all in the main auditorium still. So Dewey ends up, basically, you see the killer in the projection room at the top up the stairs.
Right.
So Dewey runs up to the projection room.
Yep.
Killer's not there. Next thing you know, the killer runs out from the bottom of the screening room where Courtney Cox is, where they were fumbling, and he goes to attack her.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I mean, obviously, again, it's revealed later that there's a reason for it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's I just find the geography of this scene really, really weird, and it's quite jarring.
Hmm. It is jarring, yeah, yeah. I think there's a couple of line crosses here and there that confuse the fuck out of me.
Yeah, and then they end up in the glass room.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is just fucking weird.
Fuck soundproof glass for the sake of putting that sequence in.
Yeah.
Jason X, I can get behind it.
Because it's
an autopsy room and it's Jason X in it.
Yeah, yeah.
You just wouldn't have that.
No.
No, a projection room doesn't have soundproof glass, it has a fucking door.
But again, I think that's a different space, isn't it, though?
I thought that was a recording studio.
Yeah,
it's like attached to it. You know, like,
it was because it had fuzzy walls in it.
To do the audio overdubbing for...
The geography's not right. It's really, like...
Also, I'm also pretty convinced that soundproof glass isn't that soundproof. If you banged on it, you'd be able to hear at least a thump.
Yeah, in a music studio, where the fucking PA never works and you have to actually physically shout through the glass because none of the gear works.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll say, it isn't like total silencer forever.
No, it's not. not like Aliens. You bang on the glass and people can hear it.
If it was absolute silence, your ears and stuff would start bleeding because of the pressure after a couple of minutes.
Yes, actually.
Yeah.
So then, Dewey gets stabbed again. And, like, he gets stabbed properly this time. He gets shanked for real. Doesn't he? He gets, you know, there's fucking blood everywhere.
Mm-hmm. He's dead.
He's dead.
Oh, he dead.
Yeah.
And that's it. Dead.
That's it. He's fucked it.
Gail!
WCW champion has finally lost his crown.
Buried indeed, alive, mate. Buried alive.
Yeah.
First blood match and he lost.
Next, Sydney fucks off with her mate.
Yeah.
And the cops. She decides to go into what I assume is protective custody.
Why is her mate going?
A mate pretends a mate pretends that she's a therapist.
Oh.
And so they go, oh, fair enough then. How long you go?
But you can't spell therapist without the rapist.
Oh, God.
You never know.
Oh, God. Hello. Oh, Jesus Christ. 2018, Willie, you can't.
No, you can't.
I thought she was actually studying psychology and it was the genuine thing.
Yeah.
I'm completely missing all these subtleties.
Is this like the random woman in The Exorcist 2, the Tilda Swinton lookalike? Is it the same sort of thing going on?
Yeah. Well, everything gets a bit fucked up and random here, and it kind of becomes obvious to anyone with half a brain that there must be multiple killers involved here, because the killers are at one side of town and the other side of town at the same time.
Even though they're both in the same room at the same time just a minute ago.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of fucking shit going on that doesn't really make much sense here. So they drive off and they get to a satellite and Ghosty tips up again and slashes the guy who's driving the car's throat.
Ghosty!
Throws him out. The other cop goes round the car to try and head him off. They have a bit of a rumble. And the cop two ends up on the car bonnet. Ghostface gets in the car and he's driving it around. And then Killer of the Week happens. For me, anyway.
Yeah, fair.
Is this the poll?
This is the poll, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't trust the polls, can you, Willie?
No.
Gets poll-laxed.
Yeah. Poll won a poll match.
Oh, yeah.
And he lost it.
He did lose the poll on a poll match.
Yeah.
So he gets shanked, basically, through the head, through the windscreen.
Mm. Ugh, yeah.
Brutal.
Ghastly. Mm.
Definitely Killer of the Week.
Yeah.
It's nasty stuff, that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Satisfying, though, yeah?
Yeah.
And then we have this sort of... They try and make a cliche, not a cliche, then it becomes a cliche. They try... Sydney and a friend walk away from a car. Bear in mind, she's tried to unmask... Ghostface already, but she accidentally hit the car horn.
Yeah, so if she tries to take the mask off again, she will accidentally hit the car horn again. That's the
That's the logic. So they start walking away, and she goes, "No, I must see who's underneath the mask." And then they start going on about, "Oh, is it going to be this thing where when you go up, they'll be gone, and then they'll attack you and all that lot, blah blah blah." And then she's like, "No, it'd be nothing like that. I'll just go and have a look." "Oh, he's gone. Where is he?" And then her friend gets stabbed. I think one of the main issues I have with this film is because you acknowledge it, it doesn't make it any more clever.
No. Like, Wes Craven's Jaws 5 would literally not have a shark in it at this point.
Yeah.
I think
the problem with this film is I've always, like, enjoyed all of the Scream films, but I've never analysed any of them in depth.
You never had to think about it. Until you have to think about it, you just realise.
Yeah, and so this is kind of like a bit of a weird one for me, because... When you actually start thinking about this film, you actually think, oh, fucking hell, it is a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's one of those where it's not aging well.
No.
Because, spoiler alert for later on, you know, I did enjoy the film, but imagine if I watch this again in 10 years' time, I'd be thinking, bloody hell, this is really...
I don't know my kids see this, but...
Yeah.
I think this is aging the least well of all the Scream films.
Well, mate, Scream 3.
Well, I'll get on to that later.
Mm, yeah, okay.
Get on to that later. Get on to that later with you. So, yeah, we're kind of well and truly set up for the last act now, aren't we?
Well, to point out as well, Derek, our clean-faced, boring bastard boyfriend...
Slider.
is ambushed by his sorority for giving away his letters to Sydney.
Yeah.
So just point out, you know, he's been taken away somewhere.
And they tie him up to a very convenient piece of prop work.
Yeah.
Jesus!
Yeah, he's...
He's
never going to get stabbed on that, is he?
No. So now we're all set for the final act now, aren't we, really? All the pieces are nicely in place.
Yep.
Everyone's... descending for some reason on the theatre.
Mm-hmm.
Even none of the characters really have any reason to go there.
Not really, no. For being nice.
Not at this time of night, no, not at all.
I mean, if you look at Sydney's logic arc here, so she's just seen her best friend killed in front of her, she's just barely escaped with her life, and she's not gone to the police station, she's gone to the theatre.
As you would do. Well, it's opening night tomorrow, isn't it? So.
Well, yeah, I suppose, yeah. So there we go.
Got to rehearse. Got to use that tragedy.
Yeah.
Turn it into art.
A little bit of a logic fail. And then around this point, we get the is Cotton Weary the killer scenario when.
Literal blood on his hands.
Yeah, literal blood on his hands. Bumps into Courtney Cox in the corridor. When the first time I watched this, I thought it was Cotton Weary until this point.
Because
I was like, that's fucking a bit too neat and tidy.
Yeah.
But I did think it could have been him up until this point, the first time.
Yeah,
I,
and it would have worked. You know? Yeah,
or at least he was involved.
Yeah, but once you see him with blood on hands, you think, well, but it's clearly not him, then.
Come
you know,
on, guys, come on.
Yeah. Then we go on to the stage where Sid finds Derek tied up, and then our first ghost face is revealed.
Yeah.
And who is it?
Hitman!
Hitman! Guy with the crazies. Timothy Oliphant, baddie from Die Hard 4.0.
Or Mickey Oliphant. To give his character name, which must point out we've hardly said his name.
No.
If at all.
No, I think we've seen him 2.5 times before this.
Yeah. One obviously talking about sequels, I mean, once at the party. And that's been it. There's been no build-up for him.
No.
They kind of do, I mean, we didn't really mention it earlier, but there was a little sequence after Randy got killed where he was trying to console Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what they tried to do with this is they tried to set him up as a red herring in the sense of they tried to establish him as the new Randy.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really fucking like...
Well, we forgot about that, so it wasn't very effective, was it?
Exactly, no, it wasn't effective at all. And, it's... I mean, the play that they were going to act out was The Fall of Troy, and it's kind of like... Come on, guys. Yeah. It's a little bit too fucking on the nose, this, I think.
Yeah. And what is the explanation he gives for doing it? Or what's the excuse he's going to give?
Wants to be famous.
No,
it's all about the trial.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So he wants his 15 minutes as well.
He does, yeah.
And he wants to blame it on the movies.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he also wants to blame it on... boring boyfriend who as we've discussed earlier, there's a little bit of a framing attempt again here.
It's got an interesting angle, but it's just executed so poorly. I'm thinking, okay, they're trying to go for a post Columbine thing here.
What year was this released?
2000. Was it 97?
Third one was 2000. This one was the year after.
So this is an interesting one, because it's quite cutting edge of its time, because obviously there would have been instances before Columbine. And there was the whole thing of, you know, films being to blame, Marilyn Manson being to blame, and you try and blame everything apart from the guns themselves. I mean, obviously this has never stopped, in all fairness, in America.
No.
But I imagine when this came out 21 years ago, this would have been like, as far as explanations go, it's pretty mind-blowing that they'd actually use that, you know, as a justification, reference it in a film.
Yeah,
but now, again, it's like, well, okay.
He's carbon dated it.
Yes.
Most certainly. It's like that line in that Wheaters song where he mentions that the jock dude brings a gun to school, and you're like, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
That's of its time.
Wouldn't get past the metal detectors now, would you?
Fucking not, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit... It is putting itself very much in a certain time. Yeah. For sure.
Mm-hmm. He's after me, Gil Cowley.
What are you talking about?
The killer, he's here.
Where?
Right here. You're fast, Sid.
Get me down. Hurry.
I wouldn't do that if I were you. You really want to trust your boyfriend?
Don't you know history repeats itself? Sid.
Surprise, Sydney.
What the fuck?
Since Derek here disappeared on my ass, I've been on my own all fucking night. Thanks a lot, partner.
You motherfucker! City's crazy. You know me better than that.
Come on, Sid. I gotta have a partner. I couldn't have possibly done this alone.
God. Derek.
Sid. Oh, no, Sid. No.
It's okay, Derek. We got her.
Sid, he's lying. Sid. Untie me. Sid, untie me.
Boyfriend killer.
So speaking of all the references to Vince Russo, here comes the main swerve.
Well, don't forget the tag out first.
Sid, the man is lying! Untie me, Sid. Untie me.
What do you think, Derek? Sydney experiencing some deja vu?
No. I am gonna fucking kill you! Fucking kill you! You are dead!
Oh, yeah, but Derek's so fucking boring, you know. Yeah, who cares?
He just got shot.
Yeah.
In the chest.
Bye, Derek.
She got, that bit, though, where she puts her hand over the wound, I've always found that quite effective. I don't know why.
I noticed that straight away. It's because it's quite a light prosthetic on his chest.
Yeah.
And it's an actual intake sound where a hand goes straight to it.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's such a tactile little movement.
Yeah.
And I noticed that straight away. I thought, no, that's nice.
Yeah, I've always really liked that bit. I don't know why. I think she performs that. I think she performs that little sequence really nicely as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel that would have been a bit negative, sort of, wouldn't it?
No, that is a really nice bit. It's a minimal use prosthetic. So as her hand hits the chest, you actually can tell that she's touching his chest rather than a bit of rubber latex sort of thing. Yeah, it's really nice.
I must say, we have been a bit down this film. I quite like it.
I do as well. It was bloody good fun.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah, it's just fucking daft as shit.
Speaking of daft as shit.
Here comes the second ghostie. It's the weird woman journalist.
Yeah, I mean, this shit got me, though, the first time I ever watched it, when Courtney Cox came through that door. I was like, shit, it was Gail Weathers all along. And then she follows, like, a little bit behind. I thought that was quite neatly done as well, but yeah.
Yeah.
So it's Mrs. Loomis.
Yeah, Billy's mum. Billy from the first film.
All right, I'm sorry. I know I've dropped it twice already, but that is quite contrived, isn't it? Come now.
Yeah.
In the wings?
Told you I had a partner, Sid. Surprise cameo just for you.
Gail. Mrs. Loomis? What?
Billy's mother! Smart twist, huh? Didn't see it coming, did you?
Can't be. I've seen pictures of you.
This is 60 pounds and a lot of work later.
It's called a makeover. You should try it. Look a little tired yourself there, Gail. So you two are in this together?
Yeah, well, had to have financing. Tuition's expensive. Deb there, my backer. We met on the internet, psycho website, classifieds.
There's only an estimated 97 active serial killers in the country today, so Mickey here was quite a find. Definitely one on the way up. All he needed was a little guidance and nurturing.
As only a mother can do.
Told you it was gonna work. Wait till the trial. It is gonna rock!
Oh, Mickey, there's not gonna be a trial.
Oh. If you have been affected by the events of this podcast, dial for Samaritans at...
This whole arc that is eventually paid off in number three does kind of reek of that late stage Michael Myers retconning of canon stuff.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh yeah, they're family, but they're witch family and pagans and it's all interconnected. It's so interconnected. Please stop interconnecting things.
No, it's not necessary.
No.
Nope.
Nope.
So there's a bit of a... So she basically... So she basically tells Timothy Oliphant, you can go fuck yourself, you're not going to be famous, and shoots him to fuck. And then it's Royal Rumble time, isn't it? It's,
yes, you know,
it's, this is in many ways a restaging of Ripley versus the Queen in Aliens.
Absolutely.
It's a Royal Rumble for the ages.
It's a surprise run-in from her ex-boyfriend's mum.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Who's it going? I hear voices in my head. Oh my god.
Like every ex-WWE TNA debut in history. Team PD in the Impact Zone.
Oh, I'm surprised. I'm so surprised.
Fire Russo. yes. So they have a bit of a rumble.
Yeah. And first of all, we've got Sydney trying to drop a set on Mrs. Loomis, like Kane. Chris Jericho pushing the yo-yo barrels onto Kane at Armageddon 2000.
Absolutely.
Fucking hell, this is getting heavy.
Kane on Braun Strowman with that massive stack of steel chairs, mate.
Yeah.
Shut up and sit down.
On Braun Strowman when he pulled the Raw set down on top of Lesnar and Kane. Good times, all of them.
Or John Cena where he took that string and a load of tables, lads, and chairs fell on top of Wade Barrett.
Oh, yeah. Didn't they do that with fucking Braun Strowman as well?
Probably did.
I think they did the same thing with.
It's happened about a dozen times, but according to Michael Cole, he's never seen that before. So,
yeah.
Oh my!
Yeah, so they have a good, as you say, good fight through the theatre set, and it kind of ends up being a bit of a sort of bit of a draw, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mrs. Loomis gets the edge, pulls a gun.
Double DQ, I think.
Yeah, double DQ. And at times like this, you need a hero. And who's the hero of this piece, really?
Cotton
Weary. Damn 100% man. Cotton.
Redemption story. Yeah. Yes!
At last, he's not a cunt.
Now, that is some Vince Russo writing.
Yeah, but then even in the redemption story, he redeems himself in the most cuntish way imaginable. Because his motive for helping Sydney is to get her on a talk fucking show.
Oh, I like that dialogue, though. I like that dialogue.
But the interview's looking real good right now. And like, the way Neve Campbell plays it is like, well, actually, it fucking doesn't look good at all, but my options are somewhat limited here, so I will nod and agree. And then she dead.
Yeah, I'll say Cotton shoots Mrs. Loomis and...
But Wilson, wait, isn't this the point where the bad guy gets up for one last scare?
Yes.
Different bad guy, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Reverse bad guy.
Mm.
That's after Courtney Cox scares the shit out of Cotton Weary by appearing like the Undertaker out of the fucking casket under the dry ice. Where's the dry ice come from?
Who left that on overnight? Yeah.
So anyway, Timothy Oliphant gets super tagged.
Yeah. What's her face gets double tapped.
Yeah, got to do a double tap.
Yeah, shot through the head.
A lot of time for that. Got to make sure in those situations.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Hmm.
It's a pretty savage double tap, though, to be fair.
It is, but, you know,
I mean, the match is over. You're halfway back up the ramp. There's no need for you to go back with a chair, is there?
No. But she does.
Yeah.
She does. And then there's the nice, cheesy wrap-up section at the end,
where
this is... And the Scream films are particularly guilty of a cheesy wrap-up section. This is definitely the cheesiest of them all. We've got triple threat. Triple cheese. This is a triple cheese pizza of fucking nonsense at the end. Cheese one, mozzarella. How the fuck is Dewey alive?
Hey, guys.
Whoa. It just comes out again. You're like,
you'll never defeat the WCW champion.
Oh, no, yeah. So he gets gurneyed up, loaded in.
Yeah.
Cheese two, cheddar. So you get fucking... Cotton Weary, all the journalists come up to Neve Campbell and she's like, oh, wow, how did you survive? Tell us a story. And she sends them all over to Cotton Weary. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. It's like, everything has a price. Gives her his card. Then cheese three, Gouda.
Ooh.
Yeah.
fucking walk of Sydney's at the end, the redemption walk with the cheesiest fucking 90s music ever. I'm covered in cheese here.
Yeah. Absolutely drowning in fucking lactose, mate.
Yeah, it's just unsatisfying cheese string shit as well.
Pan up, end of film.
Finn.
Beautiful.
Let's set the final line of dialogue. It'll make a hell of a movie. Well, you've already done one. It was called Stab.
Stop. I'm tapping out.
I can't take no more internal references.
So that was Scream 2, I guess, wasn't
it? Yeah, yeah.
So meta.
Mm.
Very meta. Fun, though.
Yeah, it was.
It was good times until I started thinking about it.
Yeah, you can't think about it. You just need to strap yourself in for the ride. It's like Final Destination film. You just need to not fucking think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was watching Scream 3, I was thinking, nah, Scream 2 needed more of this surprise reel. Ha. Bulletproof vest bitch.
Yeah,
it needed more fucking... Dewey needed a bulletproof vest or something.
Yeah.
Just to fucking sell that finish.
Yeah.
Just didn't work.
Who bought this crap? So, how are we feeling then, Dave? Should we get your thoughts first about Scream 2?
It was alright, it was good fun. Good fun. But you lose your attention for 30 seconds and you've just fucking lost track of what's going on. And everything after that just feels like, well, that's happening for the sake of it.
Mm.
And then the wrap-up section at the end just kind of explains enough for me. Like, right, fine. Yeah. It's carbon dated in quite a nice way. I like my 90s shit.
Yeah,
I really like it. I do really like it. It's just nonsense.
Yeah.
It's big-time nonsense. Not as nonsense as Scream 3, which halfway through you realise it's produced by the Weinstein Company and it's a film all about young actresses being forced into situations by movie producers. But this one keeps it fun.
And what about you, Rob? How are you feeling?
I think there's a lot of factors to be taken into consideration with Scream 2. I think if you remember that this was literally released a year after the first one, so it was rushed out pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think actually if you compare it to other horror franchises that have had a similar situation, say Friday the 13th or say Saw... in particular, as a good example, mm-hmm. I think it what you get in terms of it's quite clever if you look at it in the context that they've had to literally smash this out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know they did a fairly good job on that front.
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe a slightly spicy take. I don't know.
You haven't got your own theme song, so you're gonna have to be careful.
No, right, it's probably my least favorite of the Scream films.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
What's your favourite though, Rob?
Well, my favourite's the first one.
Okay.
My second favourite's the fourth one. The third one's my third favourite.
Oh, third to the third. I like that.
Yeah. I think the soundtrack's very good, but I think that throughout the Scream franchise, worth a listen, I'll lend you it.
Big time consistency going on.
Yeah. I think overall, I think it does what it says on the tin, which for a sequel to a slasher film is really... Is it all you can expect? Maybe...
It does what it says on the tin for a Scream film.
Yeah,
exactly. If you watch the first one, you kind of predict it's going to go more down the rabbit hole.
It gives you your audience exactly what they want.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts, Chris Wilson?
I had good fun with this one. I think, as you say, it's probably my least favourite of all the Scream films. And as I said before, the older it gets, the more, well, as you say, Dave, carbon-dated it gets because...
Yeah.
It was made in a time where people didn't really deconstruct media as much as they certainly do now. You know, and as a result, some of the dialogue in here is fucking atrocious in hindsight. Because, you know, it is about, you know, literally talking about subtext and
yeah.
It's a bit much. But, you know, considering it was like... turn around in a year and all that lot. It's a pretty commendable effort.
It's a good effort. Yeah,
very good effort. And I think with the meta stuff, they do enough to amuse me by referencing the first film and, you know, like recreating the whole like opening scene in Scream, but in, and, you know, film within a film and all that lot.
Yeah.
So they do enough there. It's just one of those where if you start analysing it a bit too much, then...
Yeah.
So, shall we start handing out the turds and the popcorns, shall we?
Well, let's do that.
Well, who wants to...
Fucking hell, all right. I'm excited for it.
Forceful. Who wants a turd first? You better turd first, Rob.
Should I turd first?
Yeah.
I'm going to go for 3 turds.
Ooh, very kind, very nice.
Well, I mean...
As your least favourite of the series, I wouldn't have...
Yeah, I mean, I think my reason for that is that actually it's just dumb fun. It's not really shit because, as I sort of said previously, it kind of fulfills your requirement. Like, if you go to watch a Scream film, this is kind of like what you want to see, really, isn't it? You know, I think on a technical level, there's very little wrong with it. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's great to look at. It's very slick. Mm-hmm. It's very slickly edited.
Nice practical effects.
Nice practical effects. You know, everything works. Mm-hmm. All component parts work. I think I'm with Wilson about some of the dialogue, which is what most of them turds are accounted for. Mm-hmm. But it's not a shit film.
No.
And what about popcorns?
Popcorns, 7.
Okay.
Because I did have a fun time with it, but I had a slightly less fun time with it as I have previously, simply because I was thinking about it as I was watching it, which is...
You got a pen in your hand, that's not the way to watch a Scream film,
exactly.
Is it?
Exactly, and it's... it suffers a little bit as a result of that, but I still think it's a rollicking good way to spend an hour and a half, and I do enjoy all of the kind of, like, what is now quite naff sort of meta-referencing. But you got to put it, again, you got to put it in context of the time. It's in 1997 we're talking about, so, you know, for its time...
It's cute more than cringy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very, yeah. That's a good way of putting it, Dave. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's my views, Chris Wilson.
And what about you, Dave? Let's start with the turds.
I'm going to go with 4 logs.
Okay.
Can't really see anything wrong with it other than that just some of it is... contrived.
Yeah.
And the other C word, unnecessarily convoluted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think some of the subtlety in it is just sledgehammer refined. It's not particularly...
No,
it's like social commentary in a Neil Blomkamp film. It's just... It's fucking there, man.
You will eat this!
And you will not enjoy it! Oh, I'm sorry, Neil. Oh, dear. And popcorns, I'm going to go with you on a 7.
Yep.
I still had a good time. Yeah.
We'll all watch it again.
No, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
It's one of the
It'll be a back to back day, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wilson.
Right. I'm going to agree with you, Dave, and going with a 4.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very fibrous, very meaty.
Yeah. So it was. It's not that turdy in all fairness, but, you know, it is just some of the dialogue and just the way it's aged, you know.
Yeah,
it is inherently smug in places as well. So, so I can say
just huffing its own shit at times.
Yeah.
Popping corns, Wilson.
So as a popcorns, I'm going to go with a 7.
Okay,
yeah, we're all agreed.
In a weird way, I also like that it is a bit carbon dated because, like I said, it's that whole 90s thing.
Yeah,
you know, I do like a good. Naff 90s film.
We do all love a good 90s film, to be honest.
Yeah.
Vastly superior to the 80s.
Alec
Baldwin, The Shadow. Yes. Didn't have that in the 80s, did we? Rob?
No, we did not.
Billy Zane as The Phantom. Didn't have that in the 80s.
Mate.
Oh.
Fucking Jim Carrey as The Riddler.
Oh, come on.
Beautiful.
Oh.
Riddle me this.
Twick. Hear me.
I don't know how we can talk about referencing a Riddler, so a 7.
So it's kind of like straight down the middle, had a good time.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
It's inoffensively inoffensive.
Yeah. I think the second out of the last 3 reviews have done that, have basically agreed with each other.
We're getting in sync, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our menstrual cycles are lining up.
Why? I knew you were going there. I just see that little cog twitch just in your head.
So predictable. Just thinking, ooh, Tom Bucks.
I'm shit at poker.
I remember.
Yeah.
So on that note.
Yeah. That was Scream 2.
What's the next film, Father?
Oh, it's me next.
It is.
So... After what I did to us last time...
Mm-hmm. Fuck you.
I felt the need for some redemption. I felt some need for some shit, but fun shit.
This is going to be an ongoing redemption arc for you, mate, because you've really got to fucking crawl out of this pit that you've shat yourself into.
You are cotton in this situation.
Yeah.
ridiculous shit, yeah. So
your pick, by the way, also led to another massive marathon with me going to bed at 3 a.m.
I bet you enjoyed it though, didn't you?
Did do though, yeah.
So I've gone for pure fucking unadulterated dog shit fun. I have gone for Tremors 3 Aftershock. No, Back to Perfection.
That's the one.
Tremors 2's
yeah.
back. Aftershocks, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the name should be switched over because Aftershocks very much suits the main monster in Tremors 3.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
Back to Perfection it is, though.
Absolutely.
Looking forward to going Back to Perfection. Big fan of the Tremors verse.
Hype. Have you seen any of the other films?
I have seen the first three.
Before. Number 4 is a treat, set in the Wild West.
Yes, so I gather,
with Burt Gummer in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Number 5 is a treat. I thought it was going to
be a newish one, isn't it?
Newish, yeah, set in South Africa. I thought it was going to be like a reality TV thing.
Yeah.
Because it starts off reality TV and then it's just Burt Gummer-Gillian things.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
But yeah, hype. Like
featuring Jamie Kennedy, of course.
Absolutely.
Off of Scream 2 and Scream 1.
Mm.
And Scream 3, technically.
Mm. Have you seen this before, Wilson?
Not before for a review. Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen the first one, obviously, a few times. Mm-hmm. Seen the second one once, mm-hmm. I think. I can't remember much about it, though, for some reason. So, yeah, this is the first time for me. Back to Perfection. So look forward to it. So thank you for listening once again. We'll be back in a fortnight. Unless you listen to this, you know, at a later date, then you can probably listen to the next one now. So go do that. It's a goodbye from Dave.
Bye.
A goodbye from Rob.
Goodbye.
And this is me saying... Bye!
Don't forget, you can follow us and keep up with all our updates, regular updates, possibly, maybe, hopefully, if Wilson gets his arse in gear, at Cinemortuary on Twitter.